From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
And we thank you for joining us this morning. It is Thursday, April 11th.
All right, and it is going to be a very busy news day, a breaking news morning at that. We are expecting a special network report on the death of O.J. Simpson. In fact, it's happening right now. Listen.
This is a CBS News special report. I'm Gail King here in New York. We have just learned this morning that O.J. Simpson has died at the age of 76. His agent said he had been suffering from prostate cancer. Now, this news comes on social media from the family of the former star running back, who was tried and acquitted for the murder of his ex-wife and then found liable for her death in a lawsuit. Simpson's life story is extraordinary. He grew up poor in San Francisco, became a sports legend who won the Heisman Trophy while playing for the University of Southern California back in 1968 and set records in the NFL and then moved into acting and TV work. He was one of the most desired commercial endorsers in the 1970s and 80s, but his career fell apart in 1995 when he was accused of stabbing his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and a friend of hers, Ron Goldman, in her home in Los Angeles. He was arrested after a long, infamous police chase that lasted for hours. After one of the most controversial trials in recent memory, Simpson was found not guilty of both murders. Goldman's family then sued O.J. Simpson, and a jury ordered him to pay $33 million in a wrongful death judgment. But that was not the end of his legal troubles. In 2008, he was convicted in a kidnapping and robbery scheme involving some of his own memorabilia. He served 9 years in prison before he was paroled in 2017. Joining me now by phone is journalist Ed Gordon, who covered the O.J. Simpson trial for BET, and he was the first journalist to interview Simpson after his acquittal. Ed Gordon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Gail.
Ed, I actually remember that day. I was watching that interview. I think the country was riveted to that interview because we all wanted to hear what O.J. Simpson had to say. What was your thought when you heard that he had passed away this morning?
I literally, Gail, am at an airport. I just got off the plane and checked my phone. Needless to say, I was getting all kind of calls and texts, and it is a bit surreal. I mean, we all can go at any moment. But to think about, as you read, who O.J. Simpson was, this star running back, arguably at his time, the greatest running back of all time in the NFL, then to become a pitchman and a movie star, and then, you know, the tragedy that befell the Goldman family and what it's become. And so I think back, Gail, as you know, how divided this country was based on that trial. It's extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Ed, I still remember when that verdict came in. He still proved to be, I think, up until the end, a very divisive character. At the time, it seemed to be divided among racial lines. You know, I remember there was a lot of celebration in the streets from some members of the black community, and a lot of people were just in shock when the verdict came in, when he was acquitted. What do you remember about that time?
Well, I remember that specifically, and I also think it's important for us to say, Gail, that I think a lot of African-Americans had their doubts as to whether he was innocent or not, and much of the
yes.
cheering was not necessarily for O.J. Simpson as much as it was for someone who, as misguided as this may sound at first glance, had beat the system, that African-Americans had for so many years been railroaded into jail, that you finally had someone rich enough and powerful enough to maybe, and I underline that, evade the system. But it's an extraordinary time that we live through. You know, you think about the white Bronco and the chase and all that led up to his arrest. And I don't know that we would be able to even think about the proportion of it today simply because social media, think about this, Gail, had he been mm-hmm. on the freeway, even though the helicopters followed him, you would have had so many camera angles from phones and everybody trying to be, you know, the reporter on the scene. It's just an extraordinary time.
You know, he was acquitted in that case, but there was forever still a cloud over O.J. Simpson. And how do you think he navigated that? Because, you know, many times he would still be walking in the streets. People were asking for his autograph,
yeah.
wanting to take a photo with him. And still there were others that saw him as a pariah.
That's a great question, Gail. I had been with him on a number of occasions after the fact. And what he would do is when he would see someone looking at him, he would quickly go to them and say hello to them before they could say anything. It was a disarming tactic on his part, if you will. So if he was afraid they were going to say something rude or vile, he would try to disarm them with, because he was a charismatic person. He was bigger than life in many instances. And so he would try to speak first, and he was, and some people will rail at this, but he was charming at times. And so he leaned on that charm to disarm people.
Yeah, charming is not what the Goldman family feels about him or
no,
many members.
Not.
Of,
certainly
no,
not.
No, the Goldman family or the Simpson family, and I was always thinking about them during times like this.
Yeah, and it's hard to really kind of put your arms around this. It didn't bring any of those people back. It didn't ease the pain of those families who still today grieve the loss of those two people.
And he always, Ed, even right up until the end, he always maintained that he was innocent.
He did maintain that, as you say, until the day he passed away. And he was quick to suggest that he always was, in his words, searching for the killer. There were those who will suggest he never did that. But he did maintain he had absolutely nothing to do with it. And as hard as that is to believe for many people, and you think about this, Gail, for as long as it's been since those gruesome murders, O.J. Simpson remained, up until he died, the face of a murderer for many. Even today, mm-hmm. there
yes.
will be comedians who will use him as the butt of a joke. And so it was something that stuck to him until his last days.
Ed Gordon, thank you so much. When I got the news, you know, listen, we had heard that he was sick and that had been sick for a while, but it was still very jarring to get the news because it just brought back all the memories about that trial. And I still, to this day, keep thinking about the tragedy of the Simpson family and the Ron Goldman family. Thank you, Ed Gordon. Thank you for talking with us this morning. Just a reminder, we are remembering O.J. Simpson. He has died at the age of 76. His agent said that he had been suffering from prostate cancer. O.J. Simpson's family said that he was surrounded by his children and his grandchildren when he died last night. There will be more coverage on our streaming service, CBS News 24/7, and tonight on the CBS Evening News with Nora O'Donnell. Many of you will now return to CBS Mornings. This has been a CBS News special report. I'm Gail King, CBS News here in New York.
All right, so you've been watching that CBS special report on PIX Plus 44 Cable Channel 12. Once again, the death of O.J. Simpson. And I echo that. I remember so well the trial. You have to think about the Brown family. You have to think about the Goldman family. I lived in Las Vegas. O.J. Simpson was one of my neighbors in the Red Rock Country Club neighborhood. I would see him on his golf cart. So I knew what it was like to see people. You heard Gail King talk about go up to get an autograph. And every time I saw somebody go up to get an autograph or a selfie with O.J., I couldn't get out of my mind the 911 call from Nicole Brown Simpson that is still on YouTube today. I invite you to listen to it as you think about O.J. Simpson. You're going to hear all throughout the day what people think about O.J. Simpson. That's what I remember, her voice calling for help on 911. Just quite a day in our country.
We're going to see so many still photos of him, videos that just provoke and incite so many different thoughts and feelings
right.
and emotions about how you felt about him from his early years of just being this god
yeah.
to falling from grace mm-hmm. and who he became and now yep. what he will become in the minds of so many people. But you mentioned, you know, the Brown family, the Goldman family. She had mentioned the Simpson family. I think about the kids.
Right. Oh, my gosh, his kids.
And what they have been through and will continue to struggle with their mm-hmm. entire life.
And we understand he passed away in Las Vegas. His family, the Simpson family, putting out a message saying he died surrounded by family, and they are asking for, I thought this was interesting, privacy and grace. They're mm-hmm. asking for privacy and grace. So O.J. Simpson, a chapter in American history has closed with the death of a man that so many people wonder, did he do it? And in fact, he teased us with the book, If I Did It. So fascinating thing. You're going to see so many things play out in our culture over the next 24, 48 hours as we look back on that time that was so divisive and so painful, especially for the families whose loved ones were butchered. Let's just say that.
Really? I mean, to lose a parent is hard enough. To lose a parent publicly like this, and now to lose parents. Mm-hmm. When they ask for privacy, give them their privacy and their peace and respect.
Yeah, we'll see so much. You know, his life intersected with the Kardashian family. Of course, we saw the split, the fracture in the Kardashian family because Robert Kardashian represented his friend O.J. Simpson, walked back his support of O.J. Simpson in that famous interview with Barbara Walters. And then, of course, Nicole Brown's best friend
was Chris.
Chris Jenner, the matriarch of the Kardashian family. That was a big fracture. So we're watching to see who knew O.J., who's going to be talking about O.J., and especially what they're going to be saying today. I also covered a new Christy Prody, his former girlfriend in Miami, during that Palace Station attempt to get his memorabilia back. What a chapter that was. So much more to say.
Yeah, a lot of stories will be discussed today. Well, why don't we take a live look outside on this Thursday morning, and it's a beautiful day here in the Bay Area as we take a look from our Salesforce camera. Jessica, clear blue skies. This is a day where you would, I don't know, maybe get in your helicopter, maybe a Cessna, just enjoy this weather, right? How did I say it? Did I say it right?
Yeah, I'm getting in the Cessna this afternoon, actually. So you're totally right. I didn't even tell you this morning that that's what I was doing, but that is the plan this afternoon. So let's dive into the forecast. Let's dive into these VFR conditions, visual flight rule conditions. It's beautiful for us today, heading out the door and getting some fresh air. If you're on the ground, if you're in the air, no matter where you're at, we are sitting above average for our daytime highs this afternoon. And it's a beautiful day to really get out there and take advantage of your local communities. You know, it's so green. We just came out of a really wet season, or above average when it comes to our rainfall. Fall totals for the season alone, and just the hills over near Oakland are as green as can be. So much nature, so much liveliness into our Bay Area. This is the day to get out there and check out a new trail or just do an extra lap around the neighborhood if possible and enjoy this fresh air. And here's the reason why I say that, because once we head into the afternoon hours tomorrow, we have some big changes right around the corner. Those daytime highs that we have today, by the way, they're sitting above average all throughout the Bay Area, but temperatures start to dip quick as we head into our Friday forecast, and then Saturday as a cold front moves its way in. Temperatures dip and then rain chances start to increase the exact same day. This cold front's going to bring in some really active weather for us here in the Bay Area, and I'm here to break that apart, and we'll have more on that coming up in a bit. For now, back to you.
All right, thank you, Jessica. Our major headline in traffic all morning long has been over in the East Bay. The 238 connector ramp towards southbound 880 in San Lorenzo has been closed. Drivers are being diverted to northbound 880. It's dense in this area due to a crash further down the road. That's in Castro Valley. So if you can just take the streets to get onto 580 and 880, it really might be better than just sitting in that stopped traffic.
All right, we want to follow more of that breaking news out of San Joaquin County. Firefighters are responding to that massive fire near Tracy along Grant Line Road. We want to put a timestamp on that video. It was shot a couple of hours ago. This is what it looked like earlier. Officials say at least two-thirds of the GMA Pallet Recycling Corporation yard burned overnight. We know at least 19 homes nearby evacuated as a result. Crews have been fighting this since 2 a.m., so we want to remind you of some of the impacts. There's a school across the street from that major fire. They've closed for the day. You see the power lines there? Well, PG&E is reporting the other side effect of that is that hundreds of customers, hundreds, are without electricity because of the fire. No word for those of you who are watching when the electricity will be back on. Also, as it speaks to the firefight, no water supply in the area, so fire crews are having to shuttle water in. That's why it has taken so many hours to get the fire put out. In fact, take a listen to what one of the employees said about the center he grew up knowing.
Ever since I was a little kid, I knew this pallet business was here since I was 8 years old. You know, this is my first pallet company that I put a foot in, and watching it come down to flames is something, you know. It really hurts me. It's something that we never thought we were going to see.
Quite an active story there. We'll keep you updated as soon as we hear more. We want to know about those impacts and when the power will go back on. Now to that story that has a lot of travelers and tourists and locals like you talking. We want to know what you think about this. Should Oakland's airport add San Francisco Bay to its name? Can you imagine that? That will be decided by the Oakland Airport Commission today, as opposition, by the way, in San Francisco mounts. So the bosses at the Port of Oakland want that name change, reportedly, to help boost travelers into Oakland. In fact, their contention, a lot of travelers unfamiliar with our region fly into SFO, even if their destination then takes them over the Bay Bridge up to the East Bay. But the San Francisco city attorney wants to ground Oakland's plan, sending a strong opposition letter, even threatening to sue. Their argument, the change violates the trademark on San Francisco's airport. Also, by the way, the San Mateo County Board of Supervisors voted to oppose. You know, one of the arguments is that travelers will be confused. So we went to X, we wanted to hear from you. And in fact, an overwhelming number of voters in this poll say yes, the change would be confusing. So in the next half hour, we're live talking to travelers in Oakland, and we're going to give you a voice in our People Are Talking segment.